Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 and 11 through 13. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right. Thank you, Ray. This Sunday, I'm going to be talking about divisions and walls and some things that we may or may not understand about politics and religion as it relates to divisions among us. What I've done, I've prepared some slides to help us try to maybe figure out what some of these terms mean and words that are associated with them so that we can maybe have a better understanding of who we are and where we are, not only in our political affiliations, but also in our theological ones as well. So I've got some slides here to define words like liberal and conservative. Is that going to work, Todd? Oh, here we go. Okay, the question is today, at least in the beginning, are you a liberal or a conservative? And we hear those words thrown around a lot in the world and also in the church. Now, I've given you a definition of what liberalism is. What is a liberal? And you can read that, political, social, philosophy, advocating freedom of the individual, parliamentary systems of government, nonviolent modification of political, social, economic institutions to assure unrestricted development in all spheres of human endeavor, and governmental guarantees of individual rights and liberties. Some key words affiliated with political liberalism are big government, change, civil liberties, progressive, left-wing, blue state Democrat. Typically are words affiliated with liberalism. Now, if we'll flip over to the definition of conservative, next slide. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the religious definition of liberalism and how it kind of manifests itself in religion, a movement in Protestant that emphasizes freedom from tradition and authority and adjustment of religious beliefs to scientific conceptions and the development of spiritual capacity. Some words that are affiliated with liberal Christianity are progressive, reform, choice, social justice, tolerance, diversity. These are words that you typically hear in liberal when referring to more liberal churches. Okay? So, again, where are we in the... Now we're going to flip over to conservative. Political conservatism is a set of beliefs that includes a limited role for national government in helping individuals, support for traditional values and lifestyles, and a cautious response to change. And some of the words affiliated with political conservatism are less government, traditional values, limited change, right-wing, red state, Republican. Typically, this is not, of course, across the board, because you know there are conservative Democrats and there's liberal Republicans and everything in between. But typically, these are words affiliated in the political conservative circle. And then the last line are, what is it to mean to be a religious conservative? Holding on to what is good from the past, cautious about change, retaining the historic doctrines of the Christian faith, as in the historic creeds, emphasis on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Words affiliated with conservative churches are tradition, creeds, scripture, evangelism, personal relationship with Christ, and salvation. Okay, so you see what we've done here. We've sort of divided it out, liberal, conservative, and broken it down, political and religious. We're going to have some more fun with that text thing that we did last week. We're going to vote. You're going to tell us anonymously whether you're a liberal or a conservative. based on. So we're going to get your cell phones out, get ready to text message, and Todd's going to set it up for us. Okay? All right, here we go. Now, this is the political. This is thinking in terms of politics. Are you a liberal or a conservative? So first of all, you need to send a message to 22333. Go ahead and do that. 22333. Whoops. Okay. And in your message, you want to, if you're a liberal, whoa, look out. If you're a liberal, 45-2715, conservative, 453141. Uh-oh, somebody changed their mind. No, no, okay, look at it go. Political, liberal, or conservative? Okay, 87% it looks like are conservative. 82%. Oh, we got some folks. Now, you're only able to vote one time, so don't try to vote more than once. Okay, you can only vote one time. All right, now, from a religious standpoint, he's going to switch over here now. Now, send another message to 521642 if you are a liberal Christian, or 521719 if you are a conservative Christian. Go ahead and send your message. Ooh, isn't that interesting? Whoa, okay. All right, keep them coming. I guess I better vote. Wouldn't you like to know? Okay. So you see, okay. Are we about done? We got 49 responses, 53 responses. Okay, good. So you can see that there are some correlations between conservative politically and being conservative religiously, as there are liberal politically and liberal religiously. So, and again, maybe neither one of these two fit you at all. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Maybe you're somewhere in between liberal and conservative, which is, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Okay, that was fun. Thank you. For those of you who weren't with us last week, this is the third sermon in a series to talk about things that most people say you shouldn't talk about in public. Two things, religion and politics, right? The two things you're not supposed to talk about in public. Well, as we prepare to vote on November the 6th, my hope is that these messages will help us see our politics from a different perspective. And that would be from the perspective of our faith perspective. I also hope to show how important it is in our Christian witness, as is witnesses for Christ, in the heat of another election. You know how things are really starting to heat up now in the political realm. Last week we looked at what it meant to be a Christian in an election year. This Sunday I want to talk about what it means to start tearing down some of the walls, the dividing walls and the partitions that start building some bridges between us. Start tearing down some of those walls. And the title of my message today is Bridging the Partisan Political Divide. Now, most of you know that last weekend football season started, both locally here at Cape, college football, and of course the NFL. And last Sunday night we had a great time out here in this parking lot. Ray had a terrific tailgate party. I mean, many of you were here. Ray asked us to wear our favorite football jersey or team colors and come out. And it was wonderful to see all of the Eagles fans and Redskins fans and Steelers and Giants fans. And, oh, yeah, there were a couple Cowboys fans there, too. I was saving that all week to say that. And they sit right here on the front row. Notice I got my Eagles tie on this morning. Okay, all right. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, first of all, you know, in the political season, campaigns, they're really starting to heat up now that the conventions are over, aren't they? In a sense, political races are kind of like sporting events when you stop and think about it. Sports fans get really passionate about their teams. And sometimes sports fans, if you've ever been to a real tailgate party at a real stadium, you know they can get pretty rowdy. Likewise, an election. An election can bring out the best in folks, and it can bring out the worst in folks as well. For instance, as I ride around the community, back and forth, all around Milton, Lewis, Rehoboth, out in the country, I see all kinds of bumper stickers. You've seen them too. You've seen the bumper stickers that say some pretty ugly things about the candidates, both candidates. On Facebook, I see a lot of my quote-unquote friends sharing a lot of negative, unkind things as well about the different candidates. The political ads on TV and the TV and radio talk show hosts don't really help us too much because they are in the business of getting us all whipped up into a frenzy. Cable news networks will soon be hosting some very, very heated debates between the president and the vice presidential candidates. Social media like Facebook and Twitter don't really help us too much. Friends forward us these emails and commentaries and political cartoons and jokes of all kinds that just seem to add to the problem of further dividing us as people. It's hard to get away from all of this when it's bombarding you seemingly 24 hours, 7 days a week, isn't it? Now, I don't really get that into the election process until after the conventions are over. Kind of like waiting for the playoffs to begin in some sports. That's really, really get into it. But as much as I enjoy watching the debates and following the news, I'm also reminded that it is also a source of great division amongst God's people. Now, I know that some of you take your politics very, very seriously. I've seen some of you working for various candidates, and I think that's wonderful. I've seen some of you working at the polls as poll workers and working for the Department of Elections, and that's good. It's good that you're involved in the political process. But sometimes we forget, as God's people, that Jesus calls us to love each other too. Even those who vote differently from us are those who are on the other side of the political spectrum from ourselves. As a church, as God's people, we must always remember who we are in the heat of an election year, or in anything for that matter, to find ways to be better witnesses of Christ's love and peace. Our calling as a church is to pray. To pray for the candidates, to pray for the country, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our churches, that they may work together to transform our world just as we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. At least that's our hope, is that we're working on being transformed into Christ likeness. But this can be tough. This is not easy to do. Because we do not live this faith in a vacuum. There are so many influences and so many temptations and so many powers at work around us that it'll get us off track. Especially if we're passionate about our politics as much as we are our football teams or sports. Last Sunday, I reminded us that the KOG party, the Kingdom of God Party, the party of which we ascribe, is neither left nor right, nor conservative or liberal, or tea or coffee. As followers of Jesus, as bearers of His cross, we, like Jesus, must be about tearing down the walls that divide us, that separate us, and work to remove the barriers that divide us, including our politics. Not just theologically, but our politics as well. We must not allow polarizing ideology or the demonizing of those we disagree with politically to pollute and distort the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, how can we participate in this political process and at the same time be faithful to who God has called us to be as His followers? Well, I believe it begins with seeking. Seeking. Jesus made it very clear that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let's do that today by taking a look at what it means to seek love, to seek unity, and to seek reconciliation as God's people. First, Christians must first seek love. We sang just a few minutes ago that God is love. And as God's people, we are to have love as our first priority in all circumstances and situations. Jesus told his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He told them that the litmus test of true faith is love, but not just any love, selfless, agape love. You see, love transcends political ideologies and even differences in our theology in the church. We as God's people are called to love not only in the church. It's easy to love one another when we're sitting around in the same building and sort of kind of believing the same things. But when we get outside, it's much harder, isn't it, to love. Our differences don't have to bring division and contention and partisanship. We can agree to disagree and speak the truth in love. Remember, God sent Jesus into the world to redeem all of our brokenness, including our relationships broken by the walls and barriers that our political and religious systems have created. The gospel of Jesus Christ tears down these walls. The cross of Christ tears down walls. No matter what the controversy, we as the church are called to demonstrate love by keeping our eyes first and foremost fixed upon Christ. When people see people in the church getting along, when people see people, Christians, loving one another, they see what is possible in the world. That is our Christian witness. How we conduct ourselves and behave in public, and how we participate in conversations. If they're not about love and don't have love at the core, then we're not fulfilling our witness and calling as Christians. They shall know we are Christians by our what? Our love. That's right. You say, "Preacher, well, that sounds all nice and idyllic and you know, it sounds wonderful and very, very nice, but how do we do that? How do we do that?" Well, I've got a couple things I want to share with you that we can consider a start or a beginning. First of all, remember, there's a delete key on your keyboard. You know that delete key? When you get an email that's full of toxic hate email stuff that you just don't believe is consistent with your faith, delete those toxic emails and messages you get. You've seen those emails. It's got forward, 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 forward. It's been around the world about 1,400 times already. Okay? And you know what's coming. Just hit the delete key. It may not stop that email from going any further, but it can sure pause it for a little while by just simply hitting delete, or at least be interrupted. We can also practice holy conversation. Well, what in the world do you mean by that? This means having meaningful conversations with people at that dinner party or in your group, wherever you are, at the lunchroom, at school, or at work, or wherever people gather to talk about religion and politics, if they dare do that. Christians should discuss the social issues and politics because this is real life. But remember that we are Christians first before any political affiliation. It should be secondary to who we are in the Lord. Holy conversation. And thirdly, pray during the next several weeks as we move toward Election Day. Next Sunday, and you probably got my email and Facebook message about this. We invested by ordering 300 copies of this little book. It's called If My People. It is a prayer guide for 40 days of prayer for our nation, beginning September the 28th. This will be handed out after next Sunday's message for you to take home, and then beginning the following Friday, September the 28th, you're going to be invited to pray these simple prayers by many people that you are familiar with, former presidents, legislators, religious evangelists, people of faith. We're asking you to seriously take this home with you and to pray with Pat and I and leaders of the church every day for 40 days for the election. And the week after the election, we're going to have a special prayer service in the sanctuary afterwards instead of our normal prayer and healing service. So be looking for these. They're free of charge. Pick one up, one per family. I've got 250 of them, and we want to put them in the home of every person in our church. So I hope you'll join me in praying. 40 days of prayer. Okay. Next, God's people should seek unity. Unity. Paul writes in our scripture that Ray read for us today, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity is one of the key tenets of the Christian faith and what Paul wanted so much for the church. And we are called to be witnesses to that unity, which is so radically different than the ways of the world, which seems to dwell and thrive on division and brokenness and partisanism. For instance, take the partisan politics we see in our country right now. We have become so polarized to the point that we think of each other in terms of, oh, he's a conservative, or she's a liberal, or he's right-wing, or she's left-wing, or, you know, those labels that have kind of found their way into the church. As we saw in the beginning, churches are now labeled conservative or liberal if they fit the profile of the things that you saw in the beginning. If a church is considered liberal, if they put more emphasis on social justice and reaching out to the poor than personal holiness. A church is considered conservative if they put more emphasis on the study of Scripture than on social issues. In his book, Seeing Gray in a World of Black and White, Pastor Adam Hamilton puts it this way. Even our most basic ways of categorizing people in society, left, right, liberal, conservative, point us to the truth that the world is not always black and white. And more often than not, we find ourselves somewhere in the gray between the two. When it comes to our politics, Christians do need to be involved in the process. But remember, God holds nations and governments and churches accountable for things like justice for the alien, the widow, and the orphan. Why do you think God's judgment was so harsh against Israel through the prophet Amos? Because the governments, the churches, and the powers that be had, in the words of Amos, they sell the innocent for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Folks, there's a lot of that going on right now where we are ignoring the poor and the needy and selling the innocent for monetary gain. We must try to seek unity by learning how to participate in the political process while refusing to participate in the demeaning, divisive partisanship. We are people of God first and foremost. They will also know we are Christians by our unity. If we would come together and be unified in the message and the cross of Christ. And finally, Christians are called to seek reconciliation when there is brokenness. The way of Christ is vastly different than the way of the world. It's a different path than the political power structures of the world. Remember how the crowds cheered Jesus as he rode into town on that donkey on that first Palm Sunday. What did they cry? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They saw Jesus as a political king, not as a spiritual savior. You see, they wanted a king, a mighty ruler, someone to kick the Romans out so that the power of Israel, the power of David, could be reestablished in their land once again. The events of Holy Week were really a struggle between two radically different agendas, a political agenda and the agenda of God. In John 12, 23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus' earthly ministry occurred during a time known as the glory of Rome. And this so-called glory was couched in wealth, prestige, and the political power of Rome, which controlled the known world at that time. Jesus' glory, however, exposed a great divide and barrier between the way of worldly political power and the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is in direct conflict with the way of the world. Paul wrote, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but those who are being saved know it is the power of God." The cross was meant to reconcile our differences, to reconcile the world unto God, and to reconcile us in our daily relationships. The way of the cross is the way of love. The way of the cross is the way of unity. The way of the cross is the way of reconciliation and new life. If our words and actions in this political season don't promote these three things, these essentials of the faith, then I dare say we are not being faithful to our name. And that name is Christian, followers of Christ. Based on last week's survey that we took, we are a pretty mixed bag politically, aren't we? I've been here 4.5 years last July, and I've seen that we're a pretty mixed bag theologically and spiritually as well. People will always disagree on how our nation should be governed and disagree on our theology as well. We've been disagreeing about theology for 2,000 years or more. But the truth of the matter is, if we are true followers of Christ, to the teachings and commandments of Christ, we will want to seek unity by being bridge builders, peacemakers, and healers. We'll see that the world is not always black and white. Issues are not always black and white, left or right, liberal or conservative. I truly believe, that we'll find Jesus somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the gray, the vast many shades of gray between black and white. I don't know about you, but I want to be where Jesus is, and I do believe that Jesus is in the middle somewhere. For there is good on both ends of the spectrum. Jesus would not be very comfortable in either political party or either label that you try to put on him. I think he's in the gray, and that's where I want to be. What about you? Something to think about as we continue our journey of faith. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this challenge. I hope and pray, Father, that whatever I've shared here this morning is from you, and that your people will take it to heart to ponder these things and to think about these ideas that we have shared with them this morning, which I believe are couched in your scriptures. Lord, help us. Forgive us for being part of any division or partisanship or brokenness. Help us, O God, to do better today, tomorrow, and beyond. Help us to be the people you've called us to be, to be more loving, to seek unity and reconciliation in all our relationships. This we pray in the name of the one who came down to tear down the walls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.